morning. God's sovereignty in the universe, part one. Next Sunday will be part two of the Lord's willing. God's sovereignty in the universe. Before we get started, I just need to say a moment. Listen, yesterday our band went out to ABC to celebrate with them the 100-year anniversary of the camp. Did a phenomenal job worshiping and leading worship with the group out there. Another group of about 13, I think, Erica, have gone and went into Port Arthur and worked and to rebuild a home yesterday. God is doing great things in our church and through our church. Listen, Erica Ordway is our missions coordinator, and we've gone five trips into Texas to do some mud outs, which is really deconstruction. That's tearing up stuff and throwing it out. And now their places are getting in rebuilding stages. And we took people who had experience like Luke and Ed yesterday, who had a lot of experience in construction and rebuilding and going in and help families. And we've had a group that's gone before five trips. We've had about 40 different people that have gone in just to help. Listen, this is ordinary people that's God using for extraordinary means. That's all it is. If you ever want to go on one of these trips, we're trying to get some Saturday trips in and out. There are a lot of people who are hurting, who are falling through the cracks, so to speak, who don't have a whole lot of money to hire contractors and stuff. And God is providing the means and the persons through our church to go in and just do what we can. That's all can be asked. Just do what we can. And listen, these people are overwhelmed and blessed by the people who are going in, by the crews that are leaving from First Baptistville Platte. Listen, just being the hands and the feet of Jesus, that's what it's about. Hands and feet of Jesus. God's sovereignty. Talking about God's sovereignty. Listen, there's so many people in the world today who think life is all about themselves. And there are a lot of people who are sitting in the churches today who think life is really about themselves. Today and next Sunday, we'll talk about the two most controversial chapters and passages in all the Bible that Christians sometimes just don't agree upon. And that's okay. You don't have to agree upon it. God is still God, and we love each other, and we keep on moving forward. But listen, we can't just skip over these chapters in the book of Romans. We have to address them and see where God is, and as much as we can understand, as much as we can grasp. And what I gather from a lot of that is we're really not in control. God is in control. That's what he talks about, the sovereignty of God, that God is the one who sets the pace. God is the one who has designed life. It is God's universe, okay? And we're living in it. And he's created us to live in his universe. And we don't have a whole lot of say-so in all of the things that go on in this universe. God owes us nothing. Let's remember that. God owes us nothing. We're under his mercy, under his grace for even being considered a person that he would want to spend eternity with. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans. And we're going to begin where Pastor John left off last week. Romans chapter 8. We're going to cover a few verses in chapter 8, and then next Sunday we'll get into chapter 9. It was once said, either God is totally sovereign, ordaining and disposing of all things as he wills, or he has no control over anything, and faith in him is an utter absurdity. Either God is in control or no one is in control. God is sovereign. He is supreme. And he owes us nothing. And he loves us unconditionally. So we begin this morning. Let us open in prayer. Father God, I just thank you today as we read this passage of Scripture. God, we don't have all the answers. And God, there are so many mysteries that are known only unto you. And Father, we cannot begin to understand them. But God, your word speaks to us and your word tells us. God, help us today by the power of your Holy Spirit to begin to understand and mesh together, Lord, this life that you have given us to understand you more. Father, we'll never totally understand you. But God, let us leave today in awe of who you are as we worship you, not only with our voices, not only with our song, our music, but God, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. Listen, this is a favorite verse of many people, and we get on into the latter part of these verses, and we think this is all about us. What can separate us from the love of God? And listen, we focus so much on ourselves in that passage of Scripture, but what it's really talking about is God's sovereignty in our lives, God's sovereignty in His love, God's sovereignty in this world. In other words, God is powerful, more powerful than anything. He is supreme. That's what sovereignty really is. There are three primary truths about God's sovereignty we must learn from this passage. I want to read verse 28 and 29 real quick, and then we'll move into the other verses. So then we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep for the slaughter. Knowing all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's some promises in here that we need to latch on to and understand, because those promises are only true if God is true. There are three primary truths about God's sovereignty we must learn from this passage. The first is this, is that about God's sovereign authority in your life, my life, and in all creation. See, God has supreme authority to choose, reject, shape, mold, interact, and intervene in his creation as he pleases. Not on our beck and call, but on God's choice, God's pleasure. We see in verse 28, 20, 29, and 30 in Romans 8, says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Talking about Christ. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. In these two verses, listen, there's a wealth of information that is often so controversial among Christians. But if we look at these verses, it's really talking about God's sovereignty. It's really talking about the one that we worship. See, sovereignty of God means he has total control of all things, past, present, future. Nothing happens that is out of God's knowledge or his control or his approval. See, all things are either caused by him or allowed by him for his own perfect will, purpose, and plan. Nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. No one is going to come in, or nothing, no spirit, no demon, anything is going to come in and thwart or distort God's perfect will. Nothing. God is the only absolute autonomous ruler of the universe and is sovereign over all creation. His providence and redemption is true, and it will come to pass. His redemption of lost man is as he laid it out to be. See, there are a few significant thoughts in this verse 29. Verse 29 says, for those God foreknew. See, the sovereignty of God means that he has ultimate knowledge. God has all knowledge. Listen, I've got a few degrees from college and seminary, but I definitely don't have all knowledge. Many times when I read God's word, I feel pretty ignorant. You see, there's this theological term we use, omniscient, which means all-knowing, that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing, that he has every bit of knowledge. As a matter of fact, he created knowledge. God knows all things, things before creation, past history, present, future. He sees all things in detail in a panoramic view. He even sees the most complex organisms and structures, things that blow our minds away, things that would take a mathematician board after board after board to write out. God already knew that. He knows the dimensions of outer space. We can't even begin to understand that. Every attribute of every sea creature and past oceans and future oceans that may come. God knows all of those things. God even knew us before we were even born. Catch that. He knew you before you ever existed. Everything about you. As a unique individual that he was creating, he knew you. He knew your eye color. He knew your hair color. He knew your health. He knew your height. He even knew your IQ. Everything, God even knows our likes and our dislikes. He knows our entire lifespan. Matter of fact, he designed our lives for us to grow through to bring him glory. See, Psalm 139, verse 16 and 8 through 18 says this. Says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake, you are still with me. God knows us before we were even born. His knowledge is endless, and everything about us comes from the mind of God. See, the first four verses of Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know my thoughts. You know what I'm going to do or going to say before I even say it, Lord. You know what I'm going to say before it even rolls off my tongue. That's knowledge. That's God's knowledge. When the scripture says God foreknew you, he foreknew you. And you see, for us, some of us, that's uncomfortable because how can God know so much about us? Because he's God. He's not a man. He's not a person like us. He's God. I wouldn't want to worship a God any less than that God. See, God knows all things. He encompasses all knowledge of all the universe, past, present, and future. God knew all about us. And rest assured this morning that God even knows every detail about your life. He designed your life to be lived with much freedom so that you can experience the good and the not so good. And he gives you freedom to move around in his plan. Yet know this, God already knows what you will do and what you will not do. When God knows you, he really knows you. Every detail, every thought, everything that will come off, roll off of your tongue. He knows all the decisions you will make. Beyond our finite comprehension, God by design knows the story of your life that he has for you. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he definitely knows your future. And for many of you, listen close. For many of you, God is trying to get your past, your present, your past out of your present so that your present can help you understand greater things about your future. God is trying to get you to get rid of the past in your present day because some of us are still living in the past and it's holding us up from the great future that God wants us to have. So not only did he have foreknowledge, the second thing is he also predestined. Oh, that's a big word. Verse 29 says, for God foreknew, he also predestined. See, we run into this word predestined, and it's caused the church to struggle over this idea of free will versus predestination. Are people predestined to be saved? Or is it a matter of their free choice? Is it a matter of their free will? And listen, we can argue both sides and leave without an answer because our minds are finite. In some mysterious divine way, God in his infinite knowledge has these both worked together for his will. Listen, God, who knew all things, who foreknew every one of us, sees everything going forward. He sees everything that's happened now. He sees everything in the past. He knows it all. Our finite knowledge can only see what has happened right here. And oftentimes, that's all of the understanding that we want to have. Sometimes we just choose to be ignorant. We don't want to see what God sees. Sometimes we just want to see this. And when we choose to just see this, we don't see through a God view all of eternity and just trust him. We just choose to see this little bit right here. And we think that's the world. We think that's it. We think that's all God right here. See, God knows everything and nothing is hidden from his knowledge. As you study the inner workings of salvation through his Holy Spirit, listen, you begin to see what God is doing. You begin to see that we are lost, that sin came into the world and we are lost human beings. And God in his mercy that he did not have to give us, God in his grace that he did not have to give us, but in his plan of salvation that was predestined in Christ Jesus to come into this world to die on a cross for our sins, God in his love brought us into this world. And he chases after us to make his gospel message of Jesus Christ effective in our lives so that we respond in faith and repentance to him. See, God loves us so much that he wants to save us. All we see is our actions, but we don't see what God has been doing all along. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws them. You were dead in your transgressions and sin, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says. Listen, a dead soul does not respond to Jesus. The Holy Spirit had to make us alive. And when he makes us alive, the gospel message comes. We see Jesus for who he is, and we accept him. Why? Because his grace is so sweet. Listen, we don't want anything else but Jesus. We realize that we can't save ourselves. And it's only in Christ Jesus. You see, God's bigger plan somehow brings us and our free choice together in this mysterious thing that we all want to argue about, called salvation. And it's really a simple thing. Do you know Jesus is your Savior today? God is calling you through the gospel message to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. In God's infinite knowledge and wisdom, he's predetermined how things are to work out themselves, and he allows us freedom to make them happen. Things are not by random chance. Listen, God allows both good and both evil to exist. They can be used and can use them to bring about his own purpose. God allows evil to exist, and he allows those things to happen to bring about his greater purpose. Remember, we're talking about God's sovereignty, not your life. We're talking about God's sovereignty. And in the panoramic view that God sees, that even evil and evil people can play a part into bringing God's greater plan into existence. God uses predestination as a means of connecting his knowledge, his will, and his purpose together to show his great glory to us all. Remember, God is merciful to show any of us grace. Who are we to argue with God? God knows, elects, chooses, calls, predestines. Who are we to argue with God? Listen, God calls. In John 3:16 says, for whosoever, when I look out across a crowd, the only thing I can say is whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever will believe in Christ can be saved. Whosoever. Remember the prophet Jeremiah? Scripture records this about him. So we're talking about God in his sovereignty, predestining, predetermining some things, all things. Prophet Jeremiah, Scripture records this about God's foreknowledge and his calling of Jeremiah. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you, not after he was conceived and was growing, no, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now tell me God's not sovereign. God is telling Jeremiah, I knew you and chose you to be my prophet long before you were ever born, before you were even a twinkle in your father's eyes. God had already predetermined Jeremiah's ministry and a part of God's greater plan for Israel so that the birth of the Messiah would happen. That Jeremiah was a prophet to Israel years, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And he played an instrumental part in Israel for Jesus, the Messiah, to be born. What about John the Baptist in the New Testament? John the Baptist was predestined by God to be the forerunner of Jesus, preaching repentance. We see in Luke chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, says, your wife, he's talking to Zechariah and Elizabeth, he says, your wife Elizabeth, and now they were up in age, and they were really past childbearing years. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. The angel's telling this to her. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he is never to drink wine or fermented drink, and will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Talking about John the Baptist, before he was born, God had already called him, elected him, chose him to be a prophet as a forerunner for Jesus. And he was Jesus' cousin, and he baptized Jesus. John the Baptist was known and predetermined to be a preacher of repentance, to turn people's hearts back to God. What about Christ? What about Jesus? Certainly God knew his son before time. Jesus was with him through all creation. See, Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 33 says, talking to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. This kingdom will never end. So how did God know Jesus ahead of time? Well, in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the plural our. Let us make man in our mind. Well, who's God talking to? Jesus. God's foreknowledge of all things and all people works itself through their lives. God's foreknowledge and his divine choice predestined our lives. It is no accident that you were born in America. To your parents, at your economic level, your education level, with or without illness or disease. It is all a temporary passing on the way to eternity. You've heard, we're just pilgrims passing through, but we don't want to live like that. We want to live like this is it. Like this is the finale. Listen, it took me a hard time to understand and a while to understand that there are children born with diseases. There are children who are born for a particular purpose, and God's allowed that, not to punish them. No. Those are God's special children. And we or to respond to God's special children. God has brought them in this life to teach us something about him. Their simplicity, their love. They just love, a pure kind of love. They find joy in the simplest things. And God is reminding us, yes, this is the way your life should be. Because you see something on the other side when we go from this terrestrial, physical life and our eyes are open into the spirit world. Those children, those people who have lived their life in a wheelchair, those people who have not been in their right minds, those people who have struggled through all of life, and we've said, I feel sorry for you. Listen, on the other side, they're with Jesus, and they're running, and they're jumping, and they're having an exciting time. Listen, those are the people that will be with Jesus. Close, sitting around his throne. See, God brings people into this world with disease and illness to teach us something. Because we can get very prideful and we can think it's all about us. No. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. It's all a temporary passing. What's 80 years? Listen, November, I'm turning 50. 80 sure looked young. Dude, I still act 19 and the body won't appreciate that. God's foreknowledge. It's God's sovereign choice to design our lives. It is our free choices that bring life to God's design. We see in verse 29, the latter part of it. It says, to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. All of God's foreknowledge, predestined, planned, is in order for Jesus to be born, to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, in order for all who will believe in him, at John 3:16, in faith and repentance to be saved. See, God's desire is to have all people love him and all people to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's God's desire. Is that reality that happens in our world? No. But it didn't stop Jesus from dying on the cross for us. Somehow God's foreknowledge, his election of believers, and our free will to follow him all result in a repentant, born-again believer who commits his life to follow Christ as modern-day disciple. Or it may be a person who rejects Jesus and his heart just grows hardened and calloused toward Christ. You see, God has done all of this so that he could win us over to love him like he loves us. It's all about God and his plan, not about us and our plan. It's not about Kevin West's life. Listen, Kevin West's life is not going to amount to a whole lot if I'm not living for Christ, if I'm not being the person that Christ has called me to be. And God has called me to be a pastor, but listen, you are a missionary wherever you are. You have the same responsibility wherever God has planted you. If it's in the school system, listen, if it's a teacher, if it's a housewife for that family, you don't know you may be raising the next Billy Graham. You don't know that. Wherever God has placed you, whatever work area, that is your ministry that God has placed you in. And there's a great responsibility that rests on your shoulders. Because God is working out his plan in our lives. The second thing we see, and I know I'm running out of time, hang with me, is God's sovereign promise. See, God's promises are valid and guaranteed because of his sovereign knowledge and power to bring them to fruition, bring them into existence. Verse 28, and we love this verse 28 so much. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now listen, when we read that passage of scripture, we're usually going through something and we embrace God. It helps us to focus on God. But listen, can we read that verse of scripture not with ourselves in mind, but with God's sovereignty in mind? Can we read that passage of scripture to help us realize that God is really in control? Not going through anything of ourselves, but can we read it a little differently? See, this wonderful promise, it's a promise of God. This wonderful promise that so many hold on to when they face challenging and even tragic situations as Christians. It's a promise. This verse and this promise is only possible because of the sovereign lordship of our God. See, the first part of that verse says, and we know. How can we know anything? How can we be so assured that we would say we know that this promise is assured? Paul is writing this to the church, to the Christians. We're assured and we can know because God is upholding his promise. It is God who is sovereign. It is God who is supreme. We're not basing this on how strong our faith is, but we're basing it on God. Second part of verse 28 says, and we know in all things, all things, regardless of the situation, your failures, your mistakes, your feelings about an issue, God's promise holds true to believers that God is not concerned about your feelings as much as he is about your faith to trust him to lead you through and to bring you through where he wants you to be in his sovereign plan for your life. God has allowed you to go through this situation not to hurt you, not to punish you. He's allowed you to go through that so that your faith would grow in him and that you would really see that he is in control of your life and not you. Boy, we like control. We like to call the shots. And God will send some things that we just can't control. I can't control my heart beating right now. It could stop at any time. I want to make sure that I'm following God's plan before it does stop. The latter part of verse 28 says, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Wait a minute. So in all situations, God walks with his people. Look at what the promise says. Those who love him, who have been called. See, God's promise, this promise to work things out for our good is for believers. God foreknew us. God predestined our lives. And now he is working for the good of us who love him, who have responded in faith and repentance to him, who are his child, who are his chosen, who are his elect. We don't know all that, but God knows all that. And we see that he's working in our lives to build us more like Christ, into the image of Christ. He is discipling us. He is sanctifying us to be more like Christ. And sometimes he allow a death to happen in our family, someone that's real close to us. He may allow a tragic situation. We may be going to work one day and getting an accident, and now for the rest of our life we're in a wheelchair. And we're saying, where was God then? God was right there the whole time. God's not punishing you. He's allowing life for you to have that freedom to live life. But in all things, God works for the good. For the good. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is God's promise for believers? Because God is working out his greater purpose in our lives, our temporary situation and experiences. Listen. There's a friend of ours who just passed away yesterday. October 7th, it was 4 years and my mom passed away. My mom and I were best of friends. Lady I admired, she was my father and my mother. Double love. And sometimes I don't understand why God did this so at these times. And you've lost loved ones in your life, and you don't know why God does that at the time, and no words can comfort you, console you at that. Somewhere down the line, though, we begin to see that God's divine purpose was there, God's divine reason was there to grow us up, because there's some things that God wants to teach us and show us so that his divine purpose in our lives. Listen, they lived out their purpose, whether it was a few years or many, many, many years. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that all of our lives were written down in God's book, and he knows already, and there's a divine purpose, and life does not go beyond God's divine purpose. But there's a reason for us to go on without them. And we begin to see that God's promises are true to us. See, when Paul asks this question, verse 15, who shall separate us from the love of God? There's a promise coming. So now Paul begins to name various things. Various things. See, in God, in his supernatural ability, in his supreme existence, there's some great things in store for his people. Because only God can uphold his promises. Paul says, what? You know, shall trouble or hardship separate us from God? Persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors, even through him who loved us, through him who knew us, elected us, chose us, called us, saved us, justified us, adopted us. we're overcomers unto the resurrection of souls. In other words, we're overcomers in this life, and not only in this life, we celebrate it in the next. Verse 38 says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, nor any..." Listen, we can't just read over this stuff. "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How can God uphold this promise if God's not sovereign? If God did not foreknow and foresee everything in our life? That's the only way God can uphold this promise. You see, it is not your character that secures your salvation. It's the character of God. It is God that sustains you as a believer, not you, not me. God is God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He foreknew us. He elected us. He chose. We didn't choose him. God chases after us. We don't chase after God until we're born again. God is God because he is sovereign. His promises are secure. The children of God have eternal security because God is all powerful. For nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. God's promises are permanent. John 10, verse 27 through 30 said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand, out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand." How can Jesus Christ make that promise on earth when he was here saying, "No one will snatch you out of my hand"? Because God is sovereign. He says, "I and the Father are one." God is almighty. Life is not about you, and life is not about me. Life is not about our losses and our gains. It's not about how big a house we live in or how much money we have or what career we have or who we married. That's not what life is about. Life is all about God. Life is about our focus on Christ Jesus. God doesn't have to do anything for us, and he still chose to. God's sovereignty upholds his promises to never lose his children. The only way that God in Christ can do that, hold that promise as a certainty, is that he already knows about us and he's not shocked by our failures. He keeps us by his power and his character. We say yes to Jesus Christ and we accept Christ, his payment for our sins. Listen, we're saved, we're born again, and there's nothing that can take that away from us because we didn't save ourselves. Jesus saved us. It's God's grace, not our grace. Jerry Bridges said this, and I'm hurrying. "This is the essence of God's sovereignty, his absolute independence to do as he pleases, and his absolute control over the actions of all creation. No creature, person, or empire can either thwart his will or act outside the bounds of his will." And the last thought is this, please hang with me. God's sovereign providence, in other words, God's got a plan. So he has all authority. He upholds his promises, and he has a plan. See, God supernaturally orchestrates his providence, his plan, to work out the existence of all creation in order to bring him glory. So God, we're not just randomly thrown out there. God orchestrates things in our life. Do we have freedom? Oh, yes, we have a lot of freedom, more than we should have. God orchestrates our lives and gives us freedom to work out our plans in his life. In all things, God works for the good. See, verse 30 says, "And those he predestined in Christ, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." See, God's purpose and plan is to spend eternity with his children in his kingdom, where he is the fulfillment of all our desires. He is the love of our life. God wants us to love him as much as he loves us. God created man to have a relationship with us. See, sin broke that relationship, and God's remedy for the sin problem was Jesus Christ. In God's sovereign plan, all this was designed in God's providence. We see a few things here. God's providence includes everything that happens in the universe. Nothing happens without God knowing and allowing it. It is no accident that Adam and Eve had the free will to decision to obey or disobey God, and they sinned. Their sin tainted all of humanity and separated everyone from God. Yet sin also gave God, listen real close, sin also gave God the supernatural opportunity to demonstrate his unconditional love, patience, undeserved mercy, and miraculous grace upon all who will by faith and repentance accept Christ. How did sin play a part in the world? We also see this. It was said that when God pushes you to the edge, trust him fully, because only two things can happen. Either he will catch you when you fall, or he'll teach you to fly. The details, even the tiniest details, are part of God's divine providence. We like to have freedom to choose. Remember, God already foreknew our decisions and works in all things for our benefit. Proverbs 16:9 says it so clearly. See, in our hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God uses our decisions, our blessings, and people, both good and not so good, to work out his providential plan and his kingdom. See, this is all about God's kingdom, not about us. We're making the world about ourselves, and it's really about God. See, yes, bad people, even evil that they do, does not thwart or mess up or confuse God's ultimate providence. The things that are going on in the world today, yes, we should stand against them. Yes, we should fight against them. But listen, they don't mess up God's plan. You see, in the Old Testament, remember Moses went over, the children of Israel had been in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. And God told Moses to be the leader to go down there and lead them out. Remember, there were 10 plagues that God sent down there to Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, to get him to release those people. Listen to what God said in Exodus. For by now I could have stretched out my hand, talking to Pharaoh, and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God raised up this evil man so that his power would be demonstrated. What about the evil kings of Judah and Israel? See, God allowed evil king Jehoiakim to reign over Judah and allow Nebuchadnezzar to overthrow them. I'm about finished. And destroy Jerusalem. Last summer, we talked about, summer of 16, we talked about the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar came in Jerusalem, destroyed it, took the king away. Listen, took many, many, many into captivity. And a man called Daniel went there. And God's hand was on Daniel. And Daniel grew in knowledge and wisdom, and he became a wise man. Because the Persians had overthrown those who were in Babylon. Do you remember the story about Jesus? Where did the wise men come from? Hundreds of years later, they came from Persia. And God sent Daniel there to teach them, to fulfill his word. All things worked for God's divine purpose, even Judas. The last one I'm closing, even Judas. Listen, we may get angry at Judas Iscariot. He was the disciple that betrayed Jesus Christ. And you say, how could someone who walked with Jesus every day, betray him? Because God raised him up. Jesus chose him to be close to him. And the man's heart was sold out to Satan. The man had a place to play in God's divine purpose. Jesus would have never gone to the cross had Judas not betrayed him. And in that crowd that day, there were probably some folks in there who really didn't want to see Jesus crucified. But they hollered, "Crucify, crucify, crucify," for a reason. So that Pilate would turn him over to be crucified. Because that's what the Jews wanted. The truth be known, if we were in a crowd that day, we may have hollered, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." Because if Jesus had not been crucified, God's plan would have never came to existence. Our salvation would have never happened. Jesus would have never died on the cross for our sins. Do you see God's sovereignty? That he can even use bad people, bad situations. He can even use sinful things to work out all things for the good of his people. It's all about Christ, folks. It's not all about us. Do you know Christ today? Do you know him as your Savior? He's calling you today to salvation. His Holy Spirit is moving in your life to call you to salvation. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today. Lord, I know this message is long, and Father, Lord, it is deep, and God, we don't want to skip over these verses, God. We want to explain and open up our eyes to see that, Lord, you are so much bigger than the God that we've made up in our minds. And God, there's so many things we don't understand. There are mysteries known only to you, and we only get bits and pieces. God, let us handle it correctly. And God, see that we are to be about your business and let you worry about the other things. Father, we thank you today for being so good to us. Thank you for your divine grace. In Jesus' name, amen.